or woke Jesus, versus biblical Jesus. I want you to think about some of the things that are going on in our lives, the lives that are being told. Our first scripture today is 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And God's words read, Paul wrote down to a preacher that he was training up, Timothy. And in the fourth chapter, in the third verse, he speaks of a time coming, a time that's already here. Starting in the third verse, we read, "For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths." As we go through this sermon and we read God's Word, I'm going to accentuate some of the words as we go through the verses. In the first lie that we have from supposedly Christian churches, I want you to think about this. These people say they're Christian churches, really? And they say that Jesus was a good teacher and a man. He's just a good teacher and a man. What a lie. It's a falsehood. It doesn't give you the whole truth. He was a good teacher. Amen? He was. He taught. He was a man. Amen? He was a man. But he was so much more than that. He was God incarnate. So these false teachings are a half-truth. They're saying, you know, Jesus was a good teacher and a man, which is only half the truth. Biblical Jesus was and is born as God Almighty in the flesh. And if you turn with me to the Gospel of John, starting in the first chapter, John, who had lived with Jesus, talked to Jesus, walked with Jesus, had supper with Jesus, lived with Jesus. What does John have to say in that very first chapter, starting in the first verse? We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not grasp it." And then skipping down to the 14th verse, we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." I want you to look at some words there in that scripture. In the beginning was the Word. John is describing Jesus Christ as the incarnate Word of God. In the Old Testament, God spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke through prophets. But in our time, in the time of the New Testament, in the time of John, the Word became incarnate flesh. God Himself came down out of heaven. The Son took upon Himself the flesh that we have, and there dwelt and gave words to us. Truth. I want you to think about that. So when someone says to you, he was a good teacher, he was a man, but he was only a man, you get to refute that. you get to go to the Word and say, now, wait a minute. Was he just a man? John here is telling us that he was more than a man, that he was God in the flesh. And I want you to think about this, because there's going to be people in your life, maybe family members, maybe friends, co-workers maybe, people you run into and they say, well, you know, yeah, Jesus, he was a good teacher, but he was just a man. You Christians need to refute that. You need to say to that person, really? He was just a man? Let me take you to John, the Gospel of John. What does John say of Jesus? You take them there to the Word, which is Jesus. The next lie that's told out there is Jesus waters down the words to avoid offense. Can you imagine that? Our whole world, our culture, nobody wants to be offended. And it seems like everybody's offended by everything. Have you ever been offensive to somebody just because you're a Christian? Think about your lives as you walk through your life. I see videos on time of street preachers that are on a street corner and they're just trying to give the Word to people. They're not trying to be offensive. They're just saying, here's the Word. God sent His Son. And somebody gets offensive. They want to run them off that corner. They rip the microphone out of the poor preacher's hand. Start screaming at it. They're so offended by what? The Word of truth. Jesus never watered down words to avoid being offensive. We find that in that God loves us enough to speak the truth. In the Gospel of John, in the fourth chapter, beginning in the first verse, we read, and that is the Gospel of John, just a couple pages over, the fourth chapter, the first verse we read, "So then, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that He was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus Himself was not baptizing, rather His disciples were, He left Judea and went away again to Galilee. He had passed through Samaria, so He came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of land that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired from His journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For His disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. So the Samaritan woman said to Him, 'How is it that you, though you are a Jew, are asking me for a drink, though I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus replied to her, 'If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water.' And she said to Him, 'Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you no greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gives us the well and drank of it Himself and His sons and His cattle?' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him shall never be thirsty. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to eternal life.'" Jesus spoke these words concerning the gift that was going to come after He ascended to heaven. The Holy Spirit was going to be poured out into the believers' lives, into their very frame. There is no watering down of the truth. People will say, you know, I don't want to be offensive. What do they mean when they say that? They're giving license to people to do whatever they want. I want you to be offensive. You know, that sounds a little harsh. And I don't mean in a horrible way where you start screaming at somebody, or you take this wonderful book that God has given us and you start beating them over the head. We don't do that. What we do is we give them truth. To truly love someone, you don't lie to them, right? If you lie to somebody about something they're doing and it's causing them harm, oh, just keep doing that. That's okay. Yeah, drink all you want. To the point you become an alcoholic. Do you truly love them? No. But if you tell them, you have a choice. If you drink to an excess, you're going to hurt your family, you're going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt the people around you. What does that do? Do you truly love them? But when you say to them, don't do that. One, it's offense to God. Two, you're going to hurt yourself. Three, you're going to hurt the people around you. Let them have their choice, right? God gives us choices, but he never takes away the consequences. There's consequences to all the choices you make. There's consequences to the people around you, the choices they make. Make the choice to tell them the truth. You can be a little offensive. God doesn't mind if you're offensive when you're telling them the truth. Love them enough to tell them the truth. Jesus loved us enough, he told us the truth. Do you believe the truth when you read it right here? One of the other lies that come about is Jesus promises, well, the woke Jesus, promises earthly treasure. You ever thought about that? There's preachers out there that you can name it and claim it, right? Does that line up with God's word? Really? Those preachers are making millions of dollars off these people. Hey, you can name it and claim it, right? What does God's word say? We find that in Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 19th verse. That's Matthew chapter 6. What does the word say in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, starting in the 19th verse, we read, this is Jesus speaking, the 19th verse, it reads, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, excuse me, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I want you to think about the people who spend their entire lives struggling and working to gather up huge sums of money. Big houses, fancy cars, treasures, valuable paintings, sculptures that sit in their house. They walk by and they go, boy, isn't that cool? Invite their friends over and go, hey, look at that statue. Bet you don't have one. Boy, do you know what that statue cost me? You know, I have people in my lives that are like that. They're so proud of the stuff they have. Now, we all have stuff, right? You got stuff. Are you proud of it? Think about it. The other day, I was working out in my wood shop, and I've been trying to push myself to do things that... I had a whole list of things I was going to accomplish before I got sick. And now that I'm recovering from my illness, I'm out in my wood shop and I'm trying to get a few things done, right? And I had this device that you mount a drill in okay? And you take the device and you mount it on a piece of wood, and it keeps everything nice and straight so that when you make that hole is really straight. So I got this thing off my pegboard where I had it stored, and I got it down, and I'm getting ready to use it, and I started operating it, and lo and behold, a little bit of moisture got in there and corroded the bars that keep everything straight. So it wasn't operating right. You know, I paid pretty good money for that. It's a tool. But it started to rust. Everything you own in this world is temporary. Your money's temporary. Your house is temporary. It's going to rust. It's going to fade. We put locks on our doors so nobody comes in and steals our stuff. But it's just temporary. Where is your true treasure? Jesus said, don't accumulate things here. Now, he's not saying you can't have stuff. You're allowed to have tools. You're allowed to enjoy that sort of thing. But is that where your heart's at? Truly, where is your heart? Is it on the treasures that God is accumulating for you in heaven? Is that where your mind is? Are you thinking about the things that you could do in other people's lives? That's where the true treasure is, in other people's lives. How you love them, how you speak truth to them, how you're there for them. You know, since I retired, I've become an unpaid Uber driver for my grandchildren. It seems like I do 100 miles a day getting them to work, getting them to the activities they want to do, and never seems to the PayPal never pops into my phone that they're giving me gas money to run them everywhere. And I'm not looking for funds. I'm looking to invest in their lives. Are you investing in other people's lives? And not just your grandchildren, but the people around you. I want you to think about the times you invest in the lives of other people in the congregation. How we take care of each other. We're a family. Now, we might not be related by blood per se, okay? But in the Spirit, we are related because we are the heart of Christ Church. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us, and that brings us together as family. We're all family here. We take care of each other. If Wendell would call me and say, "Hey, Dave, I need a ride." Or I could call Wendell and say, "Hey, I need a ride." And Wendell was there. There was times when Amy couldn't take me to my appointments, doctor appointments, to get radiation or chemo or whatever they were doing to me, or just to take blood, which they did a lot of that. Wendell was there. Bob was there. People that are part of the family that we call the Heart of Christ Church. That's investing in other people's lives. And sometimes you don't even have to show up to pick them up somewhere. Someone may call you and say, "Man, I'm really having a rough week. Could you pray for me?" Pray for them. There's never an answering machine for God. When you lift someone up in prayer, God is listening. And He is moving in people's lives to meet that prayer. Sometimes it's using other people. Sometimes it's a supernatural event, but we invest in other people's lives. That's our treasure. Our next thing is ascends all to heaven and dismisses hell. Do you know that? The modern woke Jesus sends everybody gets to go to heaven, even if you're not a Christian. Even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you get to go, right? There's no place as hell. I had someone tell me that they believe that hell is on earth. I mean, there's some bad things going on in this world right now, but that ain't hell. Not even close. And so everybody gets to go to heaven. What a lie. There's a lie. And it sound, and we just have to turn back one page into Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, we read, because Jesus warns of sin, judgment, and hell. Chapter 5, verse 29. Somehow, I'm getting ants crawling on me. I got one on my arm. How are they getting up here? They're crawling up my leg, maybe. There's a whole bunch of ants up here. I must be really sweet. Had an energy drink this morning. That must be what they're after. Too much sugar in my life. Chapter 5, verse 29, we read in verse 30. Chapter 5, starting in verse 29, we read, "Now if your right eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown in hell. And if your right hand is causing you to sin, cut it off and throw it away from you, for it is better for you to lose one of your parts of your body than your whole body to go into hell." I want you to think about that. Is God telling you to actually pluck your eye out or cut your right hand off? No, that's not what that means. If there's something going on in your life that God's word says is a sin, you need to stop doing it. You need to stop doing it. Right here it says, quit it, or you're going to go to hell. The whole world is going to hell because they believe that there is no hell, that God is love, and since He loves you, no matter what you're doing, you're okay, you're going to get to go to heaven. What a lie. What a lie. Our next falsehood is woke Jesus minimizes the need for repentance of sins. Really? We just had a prayer earlier that we confessed our sins and asked for forgiveness. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I fall down all the time. I make bad choices in concerning other people in my lives. I make bad choices sometimes in what I'm doing. But I ask for repentance. And I ask the Holy Spirit, help me to grow. Help me to overcome my failings. Jesus commands repentance of sins. And in the fourth chapter, just one page over, commands repentance of sins in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. We read, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Very short verse, but Jesus says, repent. What does repent mean? It means to turn away from the decisions that you have made, the choices you make. Repent, turn away from them. Turn towards God, and He will forgive you. He will work in your life and help you to become more like Jesus. Repent. Jesus said, repent. And there's so many people out there who minimize the need of repentance. Oh, everything's okay. You get to do whatever you want. Really? I want to ask you, if you got to do exactly what you wanted all the time, would it be good for you? How often have you made poor choices? And I stand here with you. You're sitting, I'm standing. But I stand here with you knowing that I have made poor choices. Amen? We make poor choices, and God knows that. And there is provision for us in the blood of Christ. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One of the other falsehoods that woke Jesus supposedly says, love and accepted by the world. You're going to be loved and accepted by the world. How many people want to be loved by the world? I think of all the people that are entertainers, and we have some really good entertainers with us today, and they're going to sing for us. But think of all the entertainers out there, the actors, the politicians, you know, they want to be loved and accepted by the world. Do you want to be loved and accepted by the world? Think about that. Most people do. They want to be loved and accepted. I want to be loved and accepted. But what does God's word say? Especially about us, Christians. In John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15, we read, chapter 15, starting in the 18th verse, we read, that's chapter 15 in the 18th verse. I want you to think about this. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. The world hates true Christians. We see it all the time. As I mentioned earlier, the street preachers take any major city in America, anywhere. If they're out on the corner and they're preaching God's word, people come against them. They say things like, you're offensive. You're hateful. You're intolerant. Are we? Are we hateful? No. We love everyone enough to tell them the truth. To speak the word that God gave us. If I talk to people about God's word and they're offended by it, I tell them that's your choice. You can choose to be offended by this word. But what are the consequences? That's what I ask them. Dave, you're an offensive person. You're telling me that I can't live this way. You can live this way. But God says it's a sin. What are the consequences? They turn away and walk away from me. They don't care about the consequences. They don't believe the consequences. They don't believe God's word. That's what the world looks like with woke Jesus. They're going to hate you. Know that. You're going to be hated because you stand for God's truth, not the world's truth. And who's the god of this world? Jesus said it's Satan. Satan is the god of this world right now. He's been defeated. He's been defeated. Know that. But he's still running around doing all kinds of stuff, influencing people, trying to get them to do his word, do his will. I want you to think about that. There was just an incident in Lebanon the other day. I was reading online where this family abused their own children. They were caught. They're going to be held accountable. But what does it take in a person's heart to abuse a little child? I want you to think about that. How deluded is their spirit to do something like that? That's satanic. I'm not saying someone's possessed by a demon or something, but definitely they're being influenced by something that's evil to do something like that. Woke or modern Jesus, they say, will overlook sin and never correct you. How often do we need correction? I'm 68 years old, and I still need correction. When I was 1 year old, I needed correction. Hasn't changed. I still need correction. And I got 68 years under my belt. There's less inches on the tape measure that I have left to live, and I still need correction. Do you need correction? Where are you going to find correction? Right here. Right here, brothers. Jesus hates sin and exposes truth about sin. And we find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. See, I'm working there trying to get to that page also. Everybody else gets to look too. Chapter 3, starting in the 18th verse, we read, "The one who believes in Him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed, as having been performed in God." God hates sin. God hates sin so much that He created a place called hell. That place is total separation from God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it was created for the devil and his angels because they sinned against God. They were with God in heaven, knew God, saw God, and yet sinned. And God said there is no repentance for them. They have a place they're going to go. And because sin entered the world, that is where mankind was destined to go. But God so loved the world that He said, "I don't want my creation, mankind, womankind, to go to that place. So I'm going to send my Son to take the punishment that we deserved." And what do people do? It said in the Word there that they won't come into the light because their deeds are evil. They won't come to Jesus. They won't believe in Him. When you believe in Jesus, you follow His commands. And how hard are those commands? I want you to think about that. They're so simple. Really? Love God, love others, and go. Loving others is telling them the truth. Going is going out there telling them about Jesus. Now, they may put their hand up and say, "I don't want to hear it from you." Okay. As I said before, that's their choice. You're making the choice to tell them the truth. You're making the choice to love them and say, "Look, I don't want to see you go to this place. Here's a way to avoid that." You can do it. You know, there's a lot of churches out there that think that the pastor, that's his job. He's to go out there and preach. He's to go out there and evangelize. He's to go out there and do that. I'll just sit in the pew, listen to what he has to say, say amen. Oh, what a good sermon he did this week. Oh, really, good job. Good job, Pastor. And then not go out and be the evangelist that God has called you to be. What an extraordinary thing. The Almighty God in heaven has said, you know what, I could do this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to partner with the people that I'm calling to believe in my Son. Partner with them to reach a world that's dying. You have the opportunity of partnering with God Almighty to reach other people. What an extraordinary event. There is nothing in your life, I don't care if you're an astronaut, a lineman, a plumber, a machinist, a farmer, a doctor, a nurse, no matter what profession that you could do, a musician, an actor, anything in the world, nothing compares than to be partner with God as an evangelist reaching people for eternity. Think about that. That is such an extraordinary thing. You know, I said to a pastor one time when I first got the call to become a pastor, you know, a doctor, very good profession. I've had some really good doctors lately in my life. But a doctor can only work so far. I want you to think about that. They deal with people's lives, they deal with people's health, and they can only work up until a specific moment. That moment is death. When their patient dies, the doctor's done. You can't prescribe any more medications, can't do any more operations on a corpse. It's over for them, a doctor. But we are far greater than a doctor because we deal with people into eternity. Eternity. Think of the song Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, we have no less time to praise His name. Eternity. You're dealing with eternity. That's what you have. And God partners with you to do it. Woke Jesus gives suggestions, not commands. How often has somebody given you a suggestion? Pastors do that. We give suggestions. I'm never going to beat you over the head with the Bible to get you to do what God wants you to do, right? Love God, love others, and go. I'm not going to do that. I suggest you do it. I ask that you do it. Jesus has commanded us to do it. But modern Jesus says, I'll give suggestions, not commands. Jesus commanded with divine authority, and we find that in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, we read, they came to the other side of the sea into the region Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, not even with chain, because he had often been bound with chain, bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and cutting himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. Shouting with a loud voice, he said, What business do you have with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me. For he had already been saying to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he was asking him, What is your name? And he said to him, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs feeding on a nearby mountain. And the demons begged him, saying, Send us into the pigs so that we may enter them. Jesus gave them permission, and coming out, the unclean spirits entered the pigs. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Now here was a man possessed by unclean spirits. They tried chaining him. Probably didn't use like those little chains we use for our dogs. They were probably heavy chains and shackles. And the demons gave that man such incredible strength that he broke them. And when this man, filled with demons, saw Jesus, he ran up to him. I'm trying to keep this page here. And he shouted with a loud voice, What business do you have with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And Jesus spoke with God's authority and said, Come out of him, you unclean spirits. Now, what man could do that? I want you to think about that. When I first started the sermon, they say that, you know, Jesus was a good teacher and a man. What man has godly authority to cast out demons? Jesus did. And that demon listened to him. Demons, because he was a legion. He cast them out. And where'd they go? Into a herd of pigs, and the pigs drowned themselves because they couldn't stand the demons. Jesus spoke with divine authority. So when he speaks with divine authority and says to us, Love God, love others, and go. Don't you think we should listen? I think we should listen. This modern-day Jesus that's preached promises the best life now. Where have you heard that? God wants to give you your best life right now. Is everybody having their best life now? Who's having their best life now? I don't see any hands. I just overcame cancer. That is not my best life now. I want to tell you what, that hurt. That really hurt. There was days when I was hurting so badly, all I could do was sit in my chair and ask the Lord to have mercy on me. I had a lot of pain. I wouldn't call that my best life now. You're going to have problems in this world. There's going to be health issues. There's going to be relationship issues in your family. Who doesn't have any drama in their family? No drama? Really? Can I just get one hand? Because I really need to talk to you about drama in family. I guess I'm going to have to go back to the Word and try and figure that out, right? To deal with the drama in my family. But supposedly, we're promised our best life now. In Matthew 10, Jesus says about this best life now. He says to expect persecution in his name. Matthew chapter 10, starting in the 22nd verse, we read, Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says in the 22nd verse, And you will be hated by all because of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Jesus said you're going to be persecuted because of the name of Jesus. When you claim the name of Jesus, when you tell somebody, hey, I'm a Christian, you're invoking his name, Jesus the Christ. I'm a Christian. People are going to hate you for that. You don't have to say anything else. You don't even have to call them out on sin. You can just say, hey, I'm a Christian. And some people instantly will hate you because you said that. Why? Because they're against the truth. They're against Christ. They're against anything that he has to say that he would say through you. They don't want to hear it. Speak the truth, then walk away because they don't want to hear it. But maybe you'll plant a seed. Sometimes it takes 7 times for someone to hear the word of God before it actually takes root. Can you imagine that? Do you love someone enough to talk to them 7 times when they say they hate you? It's tough. It is. Nobody wants to be rejected. That's our human nature. I don't want to be rejected. You don't want to be rejected. But love that person enough to accept the rejection and still tell them the truth. Modern day Jesus promotes unity and tolerance at all costs. How often have you heard the word unity, tolerance at all costs? I'm going to pick on people. The liberals in our culture, they'll tolerate everything but us. They want unity and they have tolerance and oh yeah, but as soon as you start speaking words out of this Bible, their tolerance and unity goes right out the window. Now they're screaming at you, calling you intolerant, saying you're not promoting unity. What they're promoting is tolerance and unity of sin. You get to do anything you want and God loves you for it. Wrong turkey. Gobble, gobble. Wrong turkey. Be loving enough to be intolerant of sin. Not people, but of sin. I'm going to go to the last verse that I'm going to look at here. Modern Jesus encourages you to love yourself first and gratify all your fleshly desires. Where have we seen that? Hey, it's all about you. You're first. And you get to do whatever you want. Whatever feels good, right? How's that working for you? When you get to do whatever you want and gratify all your fleshly desires, which covers everything. I mean, think about that. Most people want to gratify their physical bodies. I'll eat whatever I want. I'll drink whatever I want. I'll have physical relations with whoever I want or whatever I want, and I'm going to be happy. How's that working for them? Really? Jesus did not say that. If you meet somebody who says, Jesus wants you to love yourself first and gratify everything that you want, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus commands you to deny yourself and be willing to lay down your life for God. And our final verse is in Matthew chapter 16, in the 24th verse. Chapter 16, in the 24th verse, we read. Chapter 16, starting in the 24th verse. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "You are his disciples. If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what good will it do a person if he gains the whole world, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a person give in exchange for his soul? What would you give your soul for? Money? Possessions? The acclamation of the world? What is your soul worth? Your eternal soul. Jesus said you're supposed to deny your carnal self. Deny your flesh. Pick up your cross and follow him. Are you carrying your cross today? Now, I don't know what your cross looks like. Every cross is different for every person. Are you following Christ? I know it's impossible for us to do that at every moment because we still live in this flesh. But in those moments, in your prayerful moments, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to intervene in your life decisions, have you sold your soul to Christ? Have you given your soul to Christ? Those are the questions you need to answer. Do you truly believe that what you believe is really real? We got that from the Truth Project, which will be starting up in August for our Wednesday evening Bible studies. I encourage anyone who would like to look at what a Christian worldview looks like and to look at the lies the world has given us and wants us to believe. I encourage you to come. And we're going to sit down and watch a video and see what a biblical worldview truly looks like on those Wednesday nights. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you. We thank you for all the blessings that you have given us. And the greatest blessing is your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we invoke this prayer. I ask that you watch over us, strengthen us, guide us, move us into your direction, down your paths of righteousness, in your service to the service of men and women in our community, in our families, in our congregation. Father in heaven, thank you for the precious word that you have given us this day. I pray, Holy Spirit, that it imparts to each individual along with myself here this day. And we thank you for this day that you've given us. And all of God's people said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.